Welcome to the Bridge International Church, an English-speaking church located in the western suburbs of Paris. Here at the Bridge, we are committed to helping you to discover God's plan for your life, relate to others, grow in your relationship with God, and experience life in the freedom of Christ. Join us as we listen to this week's message from the Bridge.
We're starting a new sermon series today. We just finished up 4 weeks on faith and work, which was such a fun series. I had so much fun teaching those and kind of engaging with that. So if you've missed any of our messages in our faith and work series, they're all up on our website, thebridgeparis.com. But we're starting a new series today called Better, Faster, Stronger, taking 4 weeks to look at the Holy Spirit. And as I was preparing this message today, I remembered that when I was growing up, my mom didn't cook super often, but she cooked, you know, often enough. But it was usually like the same few meals over and over. And now that I have friends that are parents, I understand why. But once in a while, I would be, you know, in my bedroom, and I would start to smell a chocolate cake baked from scratch, or banana bread, or roast, or something. It's 12 o'clock. I should stop talking about food. But I would start to smell these amazing smells, and I would come into the kitchen and say, "Mom, what are you making for dinner?" And she would always say, "Don't touch that. That's not for you. We're either going to have company over, or we're going to a church event where everyone's bringing their food." And she would make these amazing foods to feed other people. And, you know, we got the egg sandwiches type thing. But the thing is that sometimes I think we look at the Holy Spirit in the same way, where we're not really sure that we need it in our daily life. We're not really sure what to do with it. So we put it away and maybe bring it out once in a while when we really need it. But mostly we're not really sure what to do with it, and maybe we're kind of scared of it. So generally we don't involve it in our lives. So as we dive into this 4 weeks on the Holy Spirit, my hope for you is that you will come out of this series feeling informed about the Holy Spirit and also open to the Holy Spirit's work in your life. But I want to make quite a few comments before we jump into the scripture today. And the first thing I want to let you know is that one of our core values here at the Bridge is scriptural authority. And that means that we believe the Bible is the Word of God and that we can trust the Bible as the Word of God. Now, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, people can talk a lot about their personal experiences or the experience that maybe a friend had, and we can start to get away from what Scripture tells us in black and white, or black and white and red, depending on your Bible. We can start to get away from the truth of the Scripture because we start to lean too heavily on our experiences. So I do want to commit to you that in this next 4 weeks, I'm not going to tell you a bunch of stories of something that happened to me one time or something that happened to someone else. We want to root this in Scripture. And there's a tension in which we don't control the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit does operate with some consistency that we can deduce from the Scripture. So we're entering into this series, and I know that when we talk about the Holy Spirit, people get nervous because we're all from different backgrounds here. So I'll speak from my experience and say I saw some really weird stuff growing up, and the Holy Spirit was like stamped onto it. Like, this weird thing happened, and that was the Holy Spirit. Or I did this weird thing because the Holy Spirit told me to do it. And as time went on, I started to lose trust with the Holy Spirit because I was like, if all of these weirdos are hearing from the Holy Spirit, I don't want anything to do with it. Or maybe you grew up in a church that never talked about the Holy Spirit, or that maybe disagreed with some of the work of the Holy Spirit, so they just never talked about it. But I believe that we can talk about the Holy Spirit, we can learn about it, we can experience it, and it doesn't have to be weird. But just to let you know off the front end of this, I've gotten corrected by some people, some of my leaders, on the pronoun that I use for the Holy Spirit. Like, sometimes you say the Holy Spirit, blah, 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 it, da, da, da. And they say, it's not an it, it's a he. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. Like, you know, and so there's some case to be made. Some theologians tend to use the pronoun it. Some theologians use the pronoun he. Some theologians make a strong case for using the feminine pronoun with the Holy Spirit, she. But just so you know, we will refer to the Holy Spirit a lot as he, just because that's what the scriptures I pulled from use. But don't let that box in your view. And then also, there's a lot of interchangeable terms, like Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, the Spirit of life, the Spirit of truth. All of these are interchangeable terms for the same thing. So if in your church growing up, they called it the Holy Ghost, don't worry. It's the same thing as the Holy Spirit. They're not like twin brothers or anything like that. But I want to say, too, that I think a lot of times when we talk about the Holy Spirit, it gets difficult because we don't understand how it works or what to do with it. And when we start talking about and exploring the work of the Holy Spirit, it forces us to remember that there is still mystery in the world. So in the kingdom of God, instead of having everything be either or, a lot of things are both and. Was Jesus fully human or was he fully God? Well, he was both. Well, how can you be both? It's an either or. Because in the kingdom, there's always a third way. We can be dead and alive at the same time because there's always a third way in the kingdom. So some people misunderstand the Trinity. What I mean by the Trinity is the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And you may have heard someone say to you, I've heard that Christians worship three gods, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But the Trinity is three in one. There's one God existing in three persons, the Trinity. I don't understand it. I wish I had an easy way to explain it to you, but it's both three and one. We have to function from a place that the gospel creates a third reality and changes everything. Now, this doesn't mean that we don't give time to study and explore and research, but it also means that there are some mysteries of God that we may never be able to understand in a clinical way. We must not, in our drive for understanding, lose the concept of mystery and imagination that comes with faith. And the Holy Spirit really forces us to embrace the mystery of God. Richard Rohr, who is a Franciscan monk, said it this way. He said, mystery isn't something you cannot understand. It's something you can endlessly understand. So this doesn't mean that you'll never have any level of understanding with this. What it means is that the concept of the Holy Spirit and the concept of God is a deep, deep well that for no matter how many years you practice Christianity, no matter how hard you study, no matter how many academic, theological resources you read, there's always more to discover. This is the beauty of the mystery of God. And I want to let you know that there's nothing to fear in the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is also the Spirit that indwelled Jesus when he was on earth. And it's funny because sometimes we're really scared of the Holy Spirit. We're really freaked out by him. But everybody loved Jesus. Even people who don't believe, who are not followers of Christianity, who are even followers of other religions, they say things like Jesus was a good man who taught good principles. Jesus was loved because he was kind and gentle and patient with people. And the Holy Spirit has to be consistent with the Spirit of Christ because they're the same. So there's nothing for you to be afraid of. The Holy Spirit is not going to hijack you. He's not going to embarrass you. And throughout this series, I want you to open yourself to the possibilities of the Holy Spirit. And I want you to rest assured we are not going to push you or embarrass you or create any sort of thing here on a Sunday morning that would make you feel uncomfortable outside of my sad attempts at jokes sometimes. But as we explore this, I want you to think about us looking at God not through a microscope, but through a telescope. Because when we start to look at microscopic things about God, stuff starts to get off of base. We have to look at the larger picture. So we're going to jump in today in John chapter 14. And this is a moment where Jesus is teaching his disciples. His disciple John recorded this. And just to give you some context before we jump in, Jesus was telling them some things that were going to happen. This was before his crucifixion, before his resurrection. So Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's telling them some crazy things, like, hey, just so you know, I'm going to die. I'm going to be raised back to life. It was a traumatic conversation somewhat for the disciples. But Jesus in chapter 14 starts to let them know what's going to happen after the crucifixion and resurrection. So he says this. He says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. That's the Holy Spirit. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore. So Jesus is referencing the fact that he's getting ready to ascend back to heaven and be there with the Father. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. But he goes on in verse 25 and says, all this I have spoken while still with you. I'm still physically present with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. So Jesus takes a moment, and really a lot of chapter 14 and quite a bit of chapter 16 is Jesus letting us know what the purpose of the Holy Spirit is. And in this passage, he really gives us three things that we can kind of lean on as far as the roles of the Holy Spirit in our daily lives. And the first thing Jesus says in this passage is that the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. The first function he gives of the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit connects us to the Father. Jesus is clear that he will go to his Father, ask for his Father to send the Holy Spirit, and God will do so in the name of the Son. So the role of Holy Spirit as advocate speaks to the function of the Trinity. The Father sends the Holy Spirit in the name of the Son, and Jesus begins to reveal the relationship of the Trinity. And this is heavy, complicated stuff, but you don't have to understand all of it. If you understand a little bit of it, that's progress, because I've been studying this for a while, and it's still a lot. So Jesus begins to reveal the relationship of the Trinity. And in Luke chapter 3, verses 21 to 22, it says that when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my Son whom I love. With you I am well pleased. So we have this moment where Jesus is being baptized in obedience to the Father, and the Father sends the Spirit to rest on the Son and show his approval. Jürgen Moltmann says it like this. He says, the Spirit proceeds from the Father, rests on the Son, and from the Son radiates into the world. So we often want to draw these really clean clinical lines around the functions of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, but we really can't do that because the way that the Trinity functions, it's okay, guys, you can look up here. It's all going to be okay. The way that the Trinity functions is so that there's a flow within the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. There aren't clean functions we can draw for each of them. So some people teach this, and they say the Father's function is this, the Son's function is this, and the Holy Spirit's function is in this box. But actually, they all flow together and support each other and affirm one another and submit to one another. And it's complicated if you think of it that way, but the way I like to think about it is that a few years ago I got to go to a vow renewal in Paris, and the couple was an older couple. They were renewing their vows after a long time of marriage, and she wore a gown. It was a big thing, and they had their first dance again after they've been married for several decades, and I had never seen two people move in better communication with each other. It was incredible to watch because they had been married for so long that they just instinctively knew where the other person was moving. It was incredibly beautiful because they've lived all of these years together wrestling through difficult things and having difficult conversations, and they've learned how to move and flow with one another. And that doesn't happen unless you're in really deep communication and intimacy with one another. And so this is what we see in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, is that it's less defining elements, and it's more looking at a beautiful flow and a beautiful dance between the three entities. But we do know a few things about this connection that the Holy Spirit gives us to the Father. And one thing is that the Holy Spirit might illuminate the Word of God to us. The Holy Spirit might help us apply the Word of God to our lives, but the Holy Spirit will never violate the Word of God. Because how can the Spirit of God violate the Word of God? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul says it like this. This is one of my favorite passages in the Bible. Paul says, "The Spirit," that's the Holy Spirit, "searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God." So he's laying out a case here that the Holy Spirit knows the thoughts of God. And this is the same Holy Spirit that's available to us. And he goes on in verse 16, and he quotes Isaiah here. He quotes Isaiah by saying, "Who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him?" And then Paul says, "But we have the mind of Christ." It's incredible the wisdom that we have available to us through the connection to the Father that we have by the Holy Spirit. And this allows the Holy Spirit to help us apply the Bible to our day-to-day lives. So the first thing that the Holy Spirit does in this passage is connects us to the Father. The second thing the Holy Spirit does is he teaches us. And Jesus says in this passage that the Holy Spirit will teach you all things. So in John chapter 16, Jesus says it like this a couple chapters later. He says, "When he comes, the Holy Spirit, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I'm going to the Father where you can no longer see me. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned." So Jesus outlines three functions there that the Holy Spirit is going to speak to in teaching us. The first of these is sin, that the Holy Spirit will teach us about sin. And what he's saying here is that part of the function of the Holy Spirit is to convict us and to help to teach us what is sin and what is not sin. And this is where I say that the Holy Spirit will never contradict the heart of the Father. The Holy Spirit is never going to tell you to start a relationship with someone else's spouse. That's not the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit tells you something that clearly violates the Word of God, that's one way you can know whether or not the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. But when we talk about conviction, I want to be very clear that conviction is not the same as condemnation. So the Holy Spirit bringing to your mind areas of sin that you need to work out, those shouldn't be riddled with shame. And certainly the Holy Spirit will not bring to mind to you sins that happened several years ago that you've repented from. That's not the Holy Spirit, because that's a spirit of condemnation. The Holy Spirit brings conviction into our lives to open up the flow of communication between us and the Father. Sin can simply be defined as anything that stops the flow and the communion that we have with the Father. And there's some things that the Bible is very clear are sin. Like, don't come to me and try to justify that you murdered someone and you know, that's clearly sin. But there's a lot of other areas in the Bible that we're not really clear about sin at all. And actually avoiding committing sin is about learning to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Because there might be something in your life that is stopping that flow of communication with God, and maybe that's not something the Bible says is a sin. Maybe your other Christian friends are fine with it, but you have to pull back and go, man, I think the Holy Spirit's trying to do something in my life because I'm not supposed to do that thing anymore. You know, and you can get into all these debates about, is this thing right or wrong, or is this thing right or wrong, or, you know, I did a Q&A thing with some university students a couple weeks ago. And always it turns to dating, you know, questions about dating and all this. And there's always this thing of like, what am I allowed to do before marriage? What am I not allowed to do before marriage? And you want like a list, you know, like, well, if you can't do this, then you probably shouldn't do this. And pretty soon you're like not even allowed to be in the same room with each other. And we want a list of this thing is sin and this thing is not sin. But there is a lot of gray area. And that's why we have to learn to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The conviction of the Holy Spirit is an act of love. When the Holy Spirit convicts us, our response to that conviction finds us in the loving arms of a father. The second thing that this passage from John 16 mentions is Jesus mentions that the Holy Spirit will teach us righteousness. Righteousness means right standing with God. And the Holy Spirit's role here is not to shame us for not being righteous. It's to remind us that righteousness is possible. And we all need to be convinced that righteousness exists and that it's possible for us to have right standing with God through relationship with Jesus. Robert Morris says this about righteousness. He says, when Jesus says the Holy Spirit will convict us of righteousness, he is referring to the fact that we all need to be convinced that righteousness exists, that it's even possible to have a right standing with God. In addition, once we're born again, the Holy Spirit's role is to convince us that we have been made righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, Paul says, for our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin. God made Jesus to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. See, the Holy Spirit helps to convict us that we can approach the throne of God with confidence, knowing that we have been made fully righteous through becoming a follower of Jesus and allowing him to bring us to repentance from our sins. The third thing Jesus mentions in this passage in John 16 is that the Holy Spirit helps to teach us judgment because the ruler of this world is to be judged. So here Jesus is referring to the presence of evil in the world or to Satan and reminding us that that ruler is going to be judged. Jesus tells us that it's part of the Holy Spirit's job to remind us that we are not left or forgotten and the ultimate victory belongs to the Lord. The third thing that Jesus tells us in this passage from John 14 is that the Holy Spirit functions in a way of reminding us what Jesus said. So he said, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Again, the Holy Spirit won't tell us anything that contradicts the heart of God. And just as the Spirit reminded Jesus who he was, the Spirit reminds us who we are. When Jesus was baptized, the Spirit came and reminded Jesus who he was. It says the Father said, this is my Son with whom I am well pleased. So when we walk with the Spirit reminds us who we are. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6, he says, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit? Maybe you've heard this. Who is in you, whom you have received from God. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Now, this is part of a larger segment about the body and the use of the body and stuff. But Paul lines out that when the Holy Spirit indwells your body, you start to see your body as something more sacred and worthy of dignity and protection. And Paul says here that the Holy Spirit reminds us that we were bought at a price. He reminds us what our worth is in God. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, Paul says, for the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So the Holy Spirit reminds us that we operate in the power of God. And the Holy Spirit is often described as testifying to truth, which means those things that Jesus said that we sometimes forget, the Holy Spirit reminds us of those things. And he reminds us of how we're to behave and who we're to love. As I read this week in researching, you guys can go ahead and come. As I was researching this week, I found this great segment from a book by A.W. Tozer. And he said, what do you think the Holy Spirit thinks about babies? What does the Holy Spirit think about babies? Well, he probably loves them because the Father led the Son during his time on earth to bless children and to welcome them. What do you think the Holy Spirit thinks about sick people? He probably has deep compassion for them because it's the same spirit that was part of the spirit of Christ. And if it's true that those spirits are the same, then what does the Holy Spirit think about people who are living in sin? There's a kindness and a gentleness and a patience that flow out of the Spirit. And if we're walking in step with the Spirit, if we're pursuing a relationship with Jesus, that Holy Spirit begins to flow out of us. And it begins to change the way that we interact with people. It begins to change the way that we see ourselves. It's impossible to see yourself as worthless when the Holy Spirit dwells within you and tells you that you were bought at a price. It's impossible for you to see yourself as something that can be thrown away when the Holy Spirit dwells within you and says that you were created and that God knew you before you were even born. God has a purpose for your life. God wants to release you into freedom and forgiveness, and this happens through the power of the Holy Spirit. We're going to take communion together in just a moment as the ushers begin to prepare that. And communion is always a great way for us to remember who Jesus is and who he said that we are. And we talked about this a little bit last week, but it's such a beautiful reminder that Jesus partners with us to see his purposes accomplished in the world. When we create space and sacred moments in our lives, we create an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to remind us who we are. Father, we thank you for your patience and your kindness with us. We thank you that there is an endless mystery that we can continue diving to the bottom of and never find the limits. Thank you that you invite us to continue growing closer and closer to you, and that even if we gave a lifetime to it, we would never find the limits of your presence, of your voice, and of your compassion for us. Father, I pray that through the next 4 weeks, that you would help us to open up our hearts to the possibilities of what the Holy Spirit might change in our lives. Pray that you would give us the courage to be open to that. Give us the courage to say yes and to follow you more closely. Thank you for your love for us, Father. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to get in touch or find out more about The Bridge International Church, please visit our website, www.thebridgeparis.com.